Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to the Completely Arboretum. Casey.
Alex, good morning. Good afternoon
to you. Good afternoon.
God, why does time fly so fast?
Currently 1:08 in the PM. Casey.
It's true.
I have not seen you for weeks. Where have you been, my boy?
3 weeks. Where have I? Haven't I been?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, all right. Basically anywhere east of Arkansas.
You've been on your celestial pilgrimage.
That's exactly what it is. I went over to the Midwest.
Yes.
The southern Midwest also.
Arkansas.
That's right. Not your Kansas, our Kansas.
Oh.
Yeah. That's what they do at the college games, I think. They say, who's Kansas? Our Kansas.
That sounds a little racist.
Well, wait, how? What are you talking about?
I think you could look at that as an anti-immigration sort of chant.
Oh, yeah, okay, sorry. I think I should give some context. I don't know this for sure, but I think it's a chant that the school does during football games while they're playing against OG Kansas.
Yes. Okay.
So, yeah. So it makes
with
it
context.
Top,
yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah. With context. Oh man. I've been watching a lot of SNL and they did a game called Republican or Democrat. And in the game, like someone would walk up, like it'd be like a game show with two people like guessing.
Uh-huh.
And they would say, the person would come out and they'd be like, this is Gene. Gene's from here. Gene, what do you have to say? And Gene would like sit there and just like have three sentences. And that person would then, they would say something that's like ambiguous, and if you put it in one context, super Republican, taken in the other context, super Democrat.
Oh,
is really funny.
Interesting.
And Kenan Thompson was the host, and he was just like, you people still don't get it. it was super funny.
Oh,
anyway,
I'm glad they said it.
Yeah, in context, this is Arkansas. That's how they pronounce it.
Well, we're very glad to have you back.
Thank you. It was a long drive. I think we went 5,000 some miles.
That's absurd.
We went, I think, 4 or 5 national parks.
That's very cool.
Yeah. White Sands National Parks, and I'll post lots of photos about these.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to share some documentation.
Yeah, definitely will. Unfortunately, I think we'll have to do it on Instagram. This is the best way to see that.
Yeah.
Because I'll be posting it there. So clap 4 trees, the number 4. The trees is in, you know, arbor culture trees.
Mm-hmm.
You get it.
Clap with 2 P's.
That's right. 2 P's. 2 P's, the number 4, trees. And what do? We drove a lot and we slept in the back and we camped. We went to another cool place, Great Basin National Park.
Mm.
We're going to go up and look at those bristlecone pines, Alex.
Of course.
But unfortunately, it didn't work out. We got there too late and it was too closed and we weren't feeling a 10 mile, 3,000 foot elevation hike up to go see them in the snow.
Good fuck.
Yeah,
that
we decided not to.
Insane.
Normally, just to be clear, we would do it.
Oh, of course you would.
Yeah, but this time it just wasn't in the cards. And then let's see, we went to a hot springs, we visited Hannah's family, went to a marriage in Arkansas, and visited her granny, dropped off her cat. It was a big thing.
You went to a wedding.
We did, yeah.
I got a picture of you and Hannah in your wedding garb. You both looked fantastic.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you.
You know what? You do a vest very well, Casey.
That is so kind of you to say.
You're definitely a vestman.
That is my favorite. It's my favorite look, I think, mm-hmm. to have that vest.
Well, you pull it off.
It's really sweet. Thank you so much.
Casey, welcome home. And today we are here to drink some beverages.
That is right.
Now,
Alex,
this episode is sort of your brainchild.
It is a little bit.
And I loved the idea. And so why don't you tell everybody what we're doing today?
Okay. So, Alex, as you know, we've been doing an entire season on food-related trees.
That's right.
And when we first were doing our research to say, well, which trees is it that we should do? We were like, well, okay, what about the coffee tree? And I was like, it doesn't like quite make it to tree level. You know, it really, right. I would put that firmly in the shrub category. And then we're like, okay, well, what else? And then I think you might've brought up wine or hops, or you brought up something.
I think I brought up hops because I'm dumb.
No.
I didn't know that it wasn't a tree.
It was unwillful ignorance. Yeah,
I think it maybe was something like, oh, I wish we could do like drink like hops,
yes,
and grapes for wine.
Exactly.
That would be cool, you know?
Yeah. And so we're like, well, okay. And we kind of moved on, but then mm-hmm. we're like, well, you know, we have this other thing that we could do. There's a lot of fun we could have with this. Let's do it as a Patreon episode for all the people who are our favorites, our number one in our hearts. Don't tell your friends.
as we all know, Patreon is Latin for playground.
It
so here
is.
We are to have some fun and try some new things.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It definitely is. So we decided that for this Patreon episode, we're going to do a quick three-parter, and it's going to be introduction, discussion, review. Introduction, discussion, review.
Wow.
All together. Introduction, discussion,
review
of three non-tree drink plants.
That's right, Casey. We
Got
have
it.
in our pantheon here today, we have the coffee in the form of coffees.
Yes.
You have an Americano, I have a Cortado.
Exactly. And we did that on purpose so that we could have the difference between espresso in water and espresso in milk.
That's right. We also have in the form of hops. Neither you nor I are drinking alcohol at this moment, so we went non-alcoholic for the wine and
the beer. Exactly.
I
didn't know there was non-alcoholic wine until like I think a week before I went on this trip, like maybe a month and a half ago.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I don't even know how that's possible, but they have
no
non-alcoholic beer too, and we don't have non-alcoholic beer today, but we do have hop water.
Yes.
And a couple different flavors that we're
exactly.
gonna try. And then we have non-alcoholic Riesling.
Yeah.
Both of these we found from at Providor in Portland. Yep. So I got some cups there.
Mm-hmm.
We have our coffees in hand, and first we're going to talk coffee.
Yeah, we're doing this in the order of the day. So, you know, you begin in the morning, you drink a nice cup of Joe.
Sure.
Then as the afternoon comes, 1:30, you slam some beers. Then by the time you're done with that, it's probably going to be about 6 or 7.
Oh, wow.
You make dinner, you drink some water, you go to sleep, you wake back up. And you have your nightcap of a nice Riesling.
That's right.
I don't know about you. That's my day.
A gastrointestinal nightmare.
Yeah.
It's making me sweat.
There's a lot of farts there.
Yeah. Well, Casey, cheers to you being home.
Cheers to you,
I raised
Alex.
My oat milk Cortado, which is maybe the most obnoxious drink you could order.
Hey, as long as you didn't order like no to low fat. And like add in X amount, like half a squirt of this, full squirt of that, 3/4 squirts of this, and then make sure that you have zero foam on top.
Right. I just want to clarify. I think they're called pumps, not squirts.
Oh gosh, I'm sorry. I regret the podcast. Regrets my error.
And I cringed when you said half a squirt of this.
Yeah. All right.
Casey, cheers.
Hey, cheers.
I mean, for the longest time, I didn't give a shit what my coffee tasted like.
Stunning.
I just drank it for the caffeine.
Yeah.
And I still kind of do. At home, I drink like, I think I have like Stumptown.
Okay. That's
just kind of your base, your entry level.
Entry level Portland Roasting Company,
yes,
I'd say. Yeah.
Third wave, right?
Honestly, Portland Roasting Company, entry-er level.
Sure.
Yeah.
I will say though, when you get a really good espresso.
Yeah.
Man, does it taste good.
There you go. All right, well, we're skipping ahead. So what did you just drink? What is a Cortado?
A Cortado, as far as I know, this is the terminology I was taught. Well, I can Google it to get an exact definition, but the terminology I was taught is that a Cortado is like a latte,
yeah,
but with more milk, in this case oat milk,
uh-huh,
than a latte and less espresso.
No, opposite.
This has less milk?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so a cortado is a beverage consisting of espresso mixed with a roughly equal amount of warm milk to reduce the acidity. So it's about a 50-50.
Yeah, exactly. And so, of course, espresso is already a really small amount. Usually it's like an ounce or two?
Yeah.
And so then it's very small compared to that. So you have like, if you get an 8-ounce cup, the 8-ounce cup is probably going to be half full or so.
Sure. So what is the difference between a cortado, which is about half and half,
yeah,
and like a cafe au lait? Is that coffee?
Ooh, yeah. So a cafe au lait would be milk, steamed milk, half a cup or half, whatever the size of your cup is. So not the measurement, a cup. So it's half of the drink is steamed milk and the other half is normal brewed coffee.
Okay. That would be espresso.
Not espresso. Whereas a latte would be espresso with your size cup amount of steamed milk on top.
To fill it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And then the final thing, like if you're going, that's going up, then you have a cappuccino, which is the same as a latte, except instead of having milk, it's a lot more froth and like foam on top.
Sure.
And then a mocha would be the same as a latte, except with chocolate flavoring added in.
You know what looks pretty good here on this chart?
Yeah, what do you got?
Is a breve.
Oh, yeah. Well, describe a breve, will you?
It looks like a breve is... the text is really tiny, but basically like espresso and milk.
Yeah.
And then cream.
Ah, that's... There you go. I would go with the cream. I love cream. It's really good.
That sounds just like a decadent delight.
Yeah. Well, then if you go back down, this next thing below a cortado is a macchiato.
Right.
Which is like a dab.
How do you know all this?
I love coffee, Alex.
My God.
I get these things all the time. And I had a mug, and I would always take it. In fact, for years, until the pandemic ruined me, I always had to bring a cup to get a coffee wherever I was. Unless I was staying, then I just get the for here cups, you know?
Sure.
Because I was like, I hate using disposable cups.
Yeah.
So I would insist. In fact, I made a rule for myself. If I didn't have a cup, I could not get coffee to go. I had to either drink it there or not get it at all.
Really quick, the wine bottle is jiggling a lot on the armrest there.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I just, if that had fallen, I would have been really upset.
There you go.
All right, my bad.
Yeah, so I would always get in this cup, but then I was trying to figure out, like, oh, I don't want to get a... if you get a an Americano, which is just a shot of espresso and then water, hot water added to flavor, I would always say put in this much, but then they would always fill it up too high. And so then same thing with latte. You get just two shots. So if you get a 16-ounce latte, you get two shots of espresso, which is generally how it comes out of the machine, but then it would be like... super like watered down with milk. You just like milk with like the hint of espresso, and it's like, this is awful. So I wanted it stronger and stronger, so I started getting like, give me a from 12-ounce latte to a 8-ounce latte to a macchiato, and then I was introduced to the cortado by my friend Grace Miller, friend of the pod, and we were down in LA when I was visiting her.
What's up, Grace?
I was like, what is this? And she was like, cool. We went to another cool spot. It was an awesome trip. And so she was like, yeah, this is it. This is pretty good. Let's just get this. It's macchiato. And I was like, wow. I'm sorry, a cortado.
Yeah.
So then I got that, and then I learned better. So it's kind of like a slingshot. Kind of went down to almost just getting straight espresso, which I've done 100 times all the time.
That was my friend Virginia's drink. She would get two shots of espresso over ice.
Oh, it's so good.
Wild to me.
I love that.
I mean, if you really need a pick-me-up, that's the way to go.
I do it all the time. Like, if I wanted to just get in, get out, you know, I would do that.
Anyway. Basically, coffee drinks are just varying. Is it like a spectrum from milk or cream to coffee?
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you add water, sometimes you add steamed milk.
Yeah,
exactly.
But there's just like a sliding scale.
Yeah, pretty
of
much.
How strong do you want this to be?
Yeah, and then there's the normal brewed coffee, which is so there's so many different ways you can do it. The percolator, you can do a Mr. Coffee drip thing, a pour over. I use an AeroPress. People use French press. There's just a trillion different ways to do it.
What a world of stuff.
And you know what? People are like, you guys are so ridiculous. Like, coffee is coffee is coffee. My friend Joey would say that. Joey and Max, my two good friends, they always use it the way you just did, just for the caffeine. And I'm like, you guys, that's fine. But they described it like, it's a tool. It's a tool for me to get up in the morning. To which I responded, why don't you buy a nice tool instead of using a really awful, broken down, shitty piece of tool to do the job? Why don't you get something that's nice?
You've used this argument against me in the past.
Yep.
And I'm not... I'm certainly not opposed.
Yeah.
To, and I recognize that coffee people have their interest mm-hmm. in coffee and that it's a there's a lot happening. I just don't want to engage.
That's fair. That's fair.
I want to engage on the most surface level where I'm getting, instead of just a cup of coffee, I'm getting a cortado
well,
or a latte.
Alex, how about we engage just a little bit deeper than surface right now?
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you a bit about this coffee plant.
Yeah, please.
So
there's one sitting in my kitchen.
There is. It's right there. Hi.
You brought over a couple loner plants to yep. for me to take care of while you're transitioning.
Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. I wasn't looking for that. And one of them is a coffee plant. It's a good-looking plant.
That's right. It's a really beautiful plant.
Should we talk? Let's talk coffee plants.
Let's talk coffee. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so a coffee is, or coffee plants, as we know them today, are planted all over the place, but they're initially actually native to the kind of high plains of southern South Africa. Not South Africa, the country, but like southern Africa.
Okay.
And Ethiopia is like kind of the historic like place, and there's a great legend to this, which who knows if it's exactly true, because these kinds of things usually don't have like a certain like there it was, that's the moment, you yeah. know. It's like the almond, there was not like one almond that someone found, but of course there's all these legends.
The proto almond,
exactly, yeah. So in this case, the proto coffee was found by a farmer. Legend has it he was an Ethiopian, I think, sheep herder. And his sheep or goats, one of the two, found these little red berries, and they would eat them, and then after they would eat them, they would be like really springy and go get them. And so then of course they would the sheep herd or goat herd would be like, oh, I'm gonna try these. You know, you see an animal eating something, you instinctively eat it also.
Sure.
So he ate them and was like, whoa, this is some good stuff. And then lo and behold, they started brewing drinks out of it. They started making it into stuff. And then you get the coffee as we know it today. But what he found was a coffee berry is what they call it, which some say it's a drupe. Others say it's a kind of berry. It's in the family Rubiaceae, which is the, you know, coffea, which is really nice. That's the scientific name of coffee.
Funny.
Coffea. Coffea.
Oh, it looks like a little. It looks like a little cranberry.
It does. It looks just like a little cranberry, and it's really just this red berry. It's really vibrantly red most of the time.
Yeah.
At least when it's ripe, and it has these two seeds inside.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've ever seen a coffee bean, you'd notice that that coffee bean looks kind of like a peanut, where there's two halves to it. Well, it's what it has in common with a peanut. Is that it's a seed that has these two halves. One seed, or it has two different seeds, though. So it's like one is curved on one side, the other's curved on the other side, like two hemispheres pushed together in the middle, and they're flattened in the middle. Those are the two seeds inside of a coffee berry.
I know that, I think peanut is a good visualization
uh-huh.
for what they look like, but can we try something new? And I think,
ooh,
what was the other plant that looked like this? I'm going to say rice puff. It looks like a rice puff.
All right. Like a piece of rice that has been puffed out?
Yes, like a sugar smack.
All right, I gotcha. A sugar smack? What is a sugar
Google
smack?
Google sugar smack.
Sugar.
Or honey smacks.
Smacks.
I'm sorry. It's a little frog.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my God, that's exactly what they look
yeah,
like.
Yeah, they look like coffee beans. That's puffed rice.
That is puffed rice. Puffed rice is a coffee bean.
Or is it puffed wheat?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
It's that. Look up that food. Have it again, because I remember having that as a child. I remember that frog. He was so cool.
This actually, the honey smack frog is cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of a hero of mine.
Oh, what?
The coffee berry seed kind of reminds me of the cacao pulp.
Yeah. A little bit, doesn't it?
Like before you roast it. And then you roast it and it gets all dark.
Exactly. Yeah, they come out when they're raw. They're like a really light tan kind of look to
yeah,
them.
Yeah, it's like a little off-white creamy.
Yeah. Well, as it turns out, they also come off of these beautiful white flowers that are very pungent. They smell, not very pungent, but like they have a really nice scent to them, if I remember. Because I think I've been through a coffee plantation in Ecuador, which was really cool. It was a plantation, but I'd say it's more of a farm. Plantation feels like it gives the wrong connotation.
For sure.
Because that's usually like a monocrop of something. But it was a preserve in the cloud forest is what it's called, which is like super high elevation tropical forest.
That's the name of a local coffee company named after that type of forest.
Oh my God. There you go. Yeah. Well,
chocolate.
Wait, I said chocolate. Yeah.
I said coffee. I meant chocolate.
Correct. Well, it's so it grows in these high altitude areas, but it is, the funny thing about it is that coffee is actually kind of a shade tolerant little shrub. That's why I was like, well, it's not really a tree. It's because it stays in the understory and it does not want to be out in the middle of everything. It does, and it can, but similar to, grapevines, if the grapevine is living too cushy of a life, it just kind of puts too much effort and it's too easy for it to make the grapes, and then the grapes don't have the right kind of flavor.
Oh.
So it turns out if you plant them in someplace that's a little bit drier, that isn't perfect for them, it's just right, the grapes will grow and they'll put out their certain things. They call it in the wine industry terroir, where they have a certain flavor from the ground that they're grown on.
Hmm.
It's why you can't just grow, you know, grapevines everywhere. It has to be from certain spaces.
After earth, terra.
Exactly. Yeah, you got it.
Interesting.
So coffee does a similar thing, where if you plant it in the shade, it actually will put more effort into the beans and you'll have a better flavor bean than if you have one that's grown way out in the open, it's just in the full sun, it's just getting blasted by that tropical heat. That flavor is not near as good, but a lot of times they grow way faster, you can get more beans. So if you don't care about the flavor, if you're, say, I'm just going to make Folgers or, right, I don't know, Maxwell House or something like that, then they're just like, whatever, we're just going to grow beans. Does it say coffee? Are they coffee? Good. Stamp of approval.
I see.
Send them through. But that actually brings us to our second point. What we're drinking, very likely, is Coffea Arabica.
Wow. Arabian coffee?
That is probably where it comes from. But the funny thing is, it's not actually, I'd have to check on that, actually, just to make sure. Because a lot of times, like Florida, there's a plant called, was it Cornus Florida, the Eastern Flowering Dogwood?
Mm-hmm.
Florida, in this case, just means flower. So like Florida.
Wow.
Like flora. Yeah, see?
Okay, so it's not related to Florida.
No, Florida is actually...
Florida is named after flower.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So so I don't know. I would have to look into Arabica, actually. I haven't checked that out.
Fair enough.
Anyway, but people call it Arabica. So like when McDonald's came out with its McCafe,
yes,
they were like, we only use Arabica coffee because that's the better, more flavorful kind of coffee, specifically. It's the most popular.
Can we pause there?
Yeah.
I would love to hear your take, and I have an opinion on this.
Okay.
On McCafe.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to give you my opinion. It is fine. It's not good. If you're driving across country and you're like, I need to get coffee somewhere,
yeah,
and you have a Dunkin' Donuts, you have a Starbucks, and you have a McDonald's, I would probably, honestly, take the McDonald's.
Yeah, man.
This is hard for me to say because I don't want any of them, period. And in all likelihood, I would have brought my own coffee, my own AeroPress, even my own water.
Sure.
Not necessarily from Oregon, but it's the best. I would actually probably go with, I don't like Starbucks coffee because they roast their beans too much and they're basically burnt beans.
Yes.
And they just, the coffee is also way too hot. Like, I mean, piping fucking hot. Don't like that. If you ever get a coffee, here's a hot tip, everyone. I mean, this is a lukewarm tip. If you ever get a coffee from a good spot, it should be drinkable immediately.
Sure.
You never should have to go to somewhere. If it's so hot it's going to burn your tongue, they're covering something up. It's poorly done coffee.
Wow. It's my interesting
thing. If you're going to these places, Dunkin' Donuts surely uses just poor quality coffee. They probably say Arabica, but literally Hannah, who lived in Ecuador for some years, said she was talking to another person in coffee, like, if you get a Folgers or something, they're probably, it's just like the stems and the sticks and the broken bits and pieces that they grind up and make into coffee. Like, it's not 100% coffee beans. It's coffee, but it's probably not the coffee that you're expecting.
Wow.
Anyway, so it could be great, but when McCafe first came out, like, I was playing frisbee tournaments and people just say, we're going to McDonald's, get whatever you want or starve. I was like, fine. I would get a coffee there. I was like, actually, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad coffee.
I think in a pinch, even not in a pinch, if you just like want a cheap ass big coffee, it's pretty good coffee.
Yeah, it's not bad. So
especially iced.
My hot take.
When I was drinking McCafe.
Yeah.
In my McCafe days.
Yeah.
I got a medium iced black coffee.
Yeah, and you liked it.
No, but it was like a huge amount of caffeine. And it was,
and
like
I
easy
survived
to drink. Yeah,
that's hilarious
and refreshing to some extent.
Right, right. Besides, well, so the other thing is, so with this caffeine that you're talking about, there's the other big coffee variety. We used to call it Robusta.
Oh yeah,
it's actually Coffea I think it's Canephora, or maybe Santa Fora. Probably can, because it starts with a C. So Canephora, and that is not as tasty, but it has way higher caffeine than what you get for Caffeia Arabica. So if you are getting coffee from like the big boys, you know, any, like, you go to a diner and they just pour coffee from an unmarked bag, that is very likely going to be a bunch of Robusta, which also is grown for the caffeine. Flavor, eh, no one really cares. And then they would just blast out this bunch of coffee. It tastes like coffee. It's not good. Who cares? Shut up, eat your eggs, and get caffeinated.
You know when people, why a good time to drink Robusta
uh-huh.
is when you can't afford Arabica.
Oh, get you gotta out pinch of some pennies. Town. Ugh. How many people do you think caught that?
I'm blushing.
I am too. Well, let's see. So anyway, so this is it's a little tree. It's a little plant. As you can see from the little guy that I've been growing for a couple of years, they're adorable little leaves. They have, they're oppositely arranged leaves, I believe. And their foliage is like this shiny, shiny, gorgeous, bright green.
Yeah.
And they grow big. They have these little white flowers that go all around the stem. If you know a plant called Beauty Berry, have you heard of this at
all? No.
Oh, look it up. American Beauty Berry. Check that out. They look just the same. Look up the song. I'm not the song. The berries specifically, American Beauty Berry.
Beauty berries look fake.
They do. They're like this amazing, amazing purple, like wild, like, oh my God, what is that? Is that even real?
It's like perfectly cylindrical or spherical.
Yeah. And that's what they look like. That's what coffee grows like, except the beans are way bigger, but they're like these clumps of beans where the flowers would be just going all the way down the stem.
Yeah. Little bean bouquets.
Yeah. Anyone from the Eastern United States is going to know exactly what this American Beauty Berry is. Calocarpa Americana.
It looks nice.
Yeah, so there's like over 100 and some species of coffee. It grows all over the place, always in the tropics. You can plant it up here, but it's an indoor plant. And it grows, I think, in Hawaii they've grown some. And other than that, it's in the Caribbean, in Sumatra, the kind of Pacific Islands. You can get it from Mexico, South America, and Africa. The best come from Africa, like notably Ethiopia, and from like Central America, South America.
Okay.
That is where, in my opinion, it is the best. I'll take South American coffee, Colombian or Honduran. It's amazing. You think, like, you know how someone's like, well, okay, I can't really tell the difference. Do them side by side. You'll be like, holy shit.
Like a Colombian and like an American?
No. Colombian roast, like some place where it's grown specifically.
Yeah.
So the stuff that's grown in Colombia.
Wait, we don't grow them here in America?
No, we can't. Okay. We're not tropical enough.
Oh, the only place, maybe we could manufacture the conditions or something.
The only place we can is Hawaii. Maybe somewhere in Florida, but that's about it.
Okay, so you must import coffee.
Yes, must be imported.
Interesting.
But if you get it imported and you try it from like an Ethiopian copy, it's very sharp, it's very forward, and it has a whole bunch of super intense, like citrusy and floral notes to it right in your face.
Sounds good.
Very, very lovely. However, if you want like that, the classic, like, I'm just going to sit on my couch, it's a cool day, and I just want to relax, and you want it to be more like chocolatey, kind of brown sugary, then go for the Colombia, the Honduras, or the Panama. I think Panama? No, where's the other place I'm thinking? Costa Rica? Anyway, Central South American.
Drinking this, I'm thinking, from what you just described, I'm thinking this must be a Central South American coffee.
I would put money on that.
It is very chocolatey. It is very rich.
Oh, so good.
It has kind of a warming effect.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it depends on your mood, but the Ethiopian coffee and stuff from Africa is way more like zing, you know?
I can see that being good as an iced coffee.
Yeah, definitely. I was thinking the same thing.
Refreshing, this middle of the summer.
There you go. So, let's see. Yeah, it grows there. It's all these in the tropics. You can do it in this, have you heard like bird friendly as a term thrown around every now and then?
I don't know if I have.
Yeah, well, the idea is that if you cut down all the trees of a forest to grow a plantation of coffee or whatever it is, then you're like, well, shit, now I've cut it all down. I'm growing a bunch of plants. Birds can come and eat this every now and then. But the thing is, they don't not every bird eats coffee and you've ruined the entire forest, which is an ecosystem, to grow one thing.
I see.
Also, you don't want the birds to eat your coffee. That's your money.
Yeah.
So if you are getting your stuff from a responsibly sourced place, A, they've bought it from like a local collective of farmers because it's like small farmers grow a bunch of coffee.
Oh, yeah. I keep going, but I have a question after you're done.
Okay, yeah. But a lot of times they would also grow it on land that's doing other things. Maybe there's some bananas. Mm. Maybe there's a larger forest above it. Most of the time, that's what people are trying to look for now.
Yeah.
So it's responsibly sourced, so you're not just screwing over the farmer. It's also responsibly sourced in that bird friendly is a term that you can get this stamp on there, or Rainforest Alliance, that kind of stuff. And a lot of those are places that they've left up big trees and then they've cleared out some of the understory and they've planted coffee in the understory.
Three Sisters style.
Yes, exactly. And what that does is allows for the ecosystem to exist, but you've spaced the trees apart such that you're still getting light. And remember how I said they prefer to grow in the shade?
Ah, there you go.
So you get shade-grown coffee, it's bird-friendly, and you have an ecosystem. It's not perfect. I you know, you're still growing something, but it's 10 times better than just cutting everything down and just doing this, you know, out in the open coffee. So it's better on all sides. You get a better product and you haven't destroyed the whole world and you're supporting usually some local farmer who's doing something to make money.
Do you reckon most like third wave coffee places in Portland are getting responsibly sourced beans?
I think so. A lot of times it's like a focus on their business plan.
It's like written down on their like menu too.
Yeah. And a lot of times if you go to like the really fancy places, they'll show you all the things about the coffee, like where they got it, who the farmer was, the process that it was, because a lot of times you have to like ferment off the outside, kind of like coffee.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
Another parallel.
There you go. That's exactly it.
They're sort of similar.
Yeah.
Kind of things.
Oh, they totally are. This is the number one, one of the top commodities in the entire world. Coffee is stunning.
Casey, my question.
Yes.
Have I forgotten it?
Uh-oh.
Give me a moment. I have. If it pops back up while we're talking about wine or something, I'll interject myself.
That sounds good.
Casey, let's move on to our second beverage.
Let's do it. Wait, do we want to rate this one?
Oh, yeah.
We got to give it a review.
You want to give it a poem rating?
I'm going to give it a rating of 1 to 10 golden poems of honor.
Yeah.
Okay. As the resident food expert, Alex, please go first.
Whoa, Freaky Friday. Casey, I think I'm going to give this oat milk cortado. I'm going to try to rate the espresso.
Okay. Here. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to give it like an 8.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Okay.
And I can tell that it's high quality.
Yep.
It doesn't like disrupt. Like I'm not like, sometimes I'll drink coffee. It's very acidic and it like burns my chest. You know?
It's awful. I know.
This is extremely smooth. It's like a fine scotch. 8 out of 10 golden poems of honor.
8 out of 10. All right. 8 out of 10 from our resident expert of all things poems. All right.
Renowned poemologist.
Poemologist. Drinker of coffee.
That's you.
That's me,
friend.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, Casey, what do you think? What are you rating this? You want to rate the espresso specifically? Because you have an Americano.
I got an Americano, exactly. And I wanted to make sure we had that diversity where this is a little more coffee forward, I would say.
It's well thought out.
And so I think, I love coffee. I used to dislike it very much. And then a friend of mine, Jesse, worked at a coffee shop, now closed.
Oh,
Schreiber.
Okay, never mind.
Oh, okay.
I know a Jesse from our childhood, or your high school years.
Gotcha. Yeah, this is adjacent. This is from my working at the Wonderland Nickel Arcade years.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Well, what about Jesse?
So Jesse worked at a coffee shop, and he one time I was visiting, and he just gave me an espresso and said, "Grow up and drink coffee like an adult."
Oh my God.
And then gave me that, and I was like, "You know what? I'm going to try it," because I didn't like it. And I tried an espresso first thing I drank, and I was like, "Wow, this is." It's actually pretty good. What is this? And then he was trying to tell me and just didn't have the words at the time to express it. Coffee is really good if it's good coffee.
Yes.
The only coffee I had been exposed to previously was literally Folgers or Maxwell House or like something that was super cheap in the gigantic cans that you get at Costco for like 30 cents. And so I've talked about this with my mom, so she's not going to be upset that I'm throwing shade on her coffee specifically. It was the worst. I just couldn't do it. I hated it. I liked the smell. Nothing about it after that. Then I started drinking espresso and it was like, this is incredible. Now it's one of my top favorite things. And I have a coffee cup with steam coming out of it tattooed on me.
You sure do.
So I'm going to give coffee, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. The reason
this
I'm not...
This particular coffee?
This, I'm going to average out it and its ilk.
Okay.
So I would, like, we went to a coffee shop that I like. It's not my favorite coffee shop. I would, if it was every place in the whole city, then it could range, you know, variably.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it on average.
Okay.
This is going to get a 9 out of 10 on average.
Great.
The reason I'm saying that is because I think coffee is the greatest. Keeps me up at night. Sometimes it betrays me. That's why it doesn't get that 10.
You're a bit of a, how do I put this? You know, like hybrid vehicles?
Yeah, all right.
Use both a battery and gasoline.
Yeah.
You're like a hybrid, but you use like 90% gasoline, which is coffee.
Okay.
And your natural energy.
Which is the other 10%?
Yeah.
All right, that's fair.
You're a bit of a maniac.
That's the kindest thing you've ever said to me, Alex.
And I love you, Casey.
I love you.
Casey, we're gonna take a quick break because I have to pee because this coffee ran straight
through
me.
Yeah, that's true.
But we have no breaks on Patreon, so I'm going to play a little musical sting right here. And just like that, it is done. Casey, our short break also beautiful. Gave us time to grab our second drink.
Here we go.
We have Aurora brand sparkling hops beverage.
Yep. And right now, sorry, everyone, there might be a burp or two. We're going to try our best to edit it out.
We can also lean away from the microphones.
Yeah, I read sparkling and I was like, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Well, Casey, what flavor? We have two different flavors. You have what now?
Yuzu orange blossom hops, non-alcoholic.
Yuzu orange blossom. Okay, I have pomelo sage.
Ah, okay. All right,
I've just cracked mine. I forgot we were going to do this on mic.
Wow.
Casey, please open your bottle. It also, we got it, but it also bumped the stand, so it went.
Oh, what?
So it sounded a bit like a fart.
Damn it.
But let's see if also we can get this pouring into the glass.
Yeah.
Now, we gotta edit that out and export it and sell it on like stock audio website.
For sure, yeah. For $100 each.
Well, Casey, cheers to Hopswater.
Hopswater.
Hi, everybody. Or should I say, hola a todos. I want you to hear something. It's this. Yes, that is the sound of learning a new language. With Babbel. You have, of course, heard of Babbel. You maybe even used Babbel. But if you haven't, Babbel is an app that helps you learn languages. Babbel is a science-backed learning language app that actually works. Let me put it this way. I knew somebody who used a different language app for 365 days and still could not even have basic conversations in the language they were learning on that app. Babbel is not this. They have quick 10-minute lessons and they're handcrafted by 200 language experts so you can start learning a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Because it's designed by real people for real conversations. In fact, a recent study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. And of course, the best way to learn a new language is immersion. You go and live in the place where the people speak the language you're learning. You speak to the people, they speak back. But the second best way is Babbel. And it's practical. It will very quickly teach you how to order food, ask for directions, speak to shopkeepers, without having to consult language apps while you're on vacation. And here is a special limited time deal for our listeners right now. Get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for Fungal Associates at babbel.com/trees. That's right. If you're listening to this, if you're a fan of this show, babbel.com/trees, get 60% off your subscription. That's babbel.com/trees. Rules and restrictions may apply. Adios.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Just a delight.
Honestly, when it touched my palate, it tasted awful.
Oh.
Like just for a moment, I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
All right. I can't really taste the hops. Am I tasting hops right now?
Casey, I got news for you. I don't either.
Wow. This just tastes like a little drink.
Tastes like a sparkling fruit citrus beverage.
Which is nice, but
the citrus definitely overpowers any hops.
It sure
that
does.
Might be
yeah,
in here.
Definitely. Well, all right. I don't know anything about this drink. This is the first time I've had it. You've had it before, right?
I've had it before. I quite like it.
It's tasty.
It's like an herbal sparkling water.
Yeah, this is a Aurora brand sparkling hops beverage.
Yes, it is vegan.
Yeah.
It is gluten-free. It's non-GMO.
It's botanically inspired, crafted in Oregon.
Aren't you kind of botanically inspired?
I really am. Mm. Yeah.
You're dendrologically inspired.
Thank you, which is, the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Right, trees are plants. I always forget this.
I know. You know, Hannah does too. Like, she was like, I keep on forgetting that trees are alive. I'm like, come on. I got a podcast about this.
Remember that meme that's like, I just remembered that the kitchen is a place. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
It's like that meme of the guy who looks really stoned.
Yeah.
It's the 10 out of 10 guy.
Oh, yeah.
And it says, I just realized the kitchen is a place.
I just realized this.
It makes no sense, and that's what makes it funny.
That is what makes it funny.
Well, Casey, let's talk hops.
All right. Hops are, again, sadly, not a tree. Yeah. I would love a hop tree. In fact, there is a hop tree. It's called Astraea virginiana.
Wow.
So, you call it the hop hornbeam. And I feel like there's another tree called the hop tree.
My friend, I have seen a hop hornbeam.
You have.
And in the early days of our podcast, I took a photo of it and I posted it on our Instagram stories and I said, can anybody identify this?
Oh, I remember
many people
that.
Did.
Yep, that's it.
And I was struck by these little, they're not cones.
No, they're actually nutlets, winged nutlets.
Winged nutlets.
Yeah, that are hanging Amazing. Down in a pendant catkin.
Yes, and they look like little hop, like they look like if you took like a hemlock cone and a sorceress cast a spell on it and turned it into plant matter.
Yes, which is, okay, I agree. Turned it back into plant
from
matter.
From a woody texture to
a papery,
leaf,
papery gotcha.
Leaf texture.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, that is it. Yeah, and they have like these, they're related actually to the hornbeam. Obviously, they're called the hop hornbeam.
Yeah.
In the Betulaceae family. And that's a tree for it. One day we're going to cover it. In fact, we should have done that right now instead, because then we could have done the hop hornbeam tree.
Oops.
And then have people be like, wait a second, that's not food. And we'll be like, ha ha, gotcha.
That's good thinking outside the bun, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. But let's see. It's the hops, the vine. We'll just jump into it. I love it. I think it's great. I tried to plant several at my house over the last several years, and then I've been stymied at every turn except this year.
Wow, they didn't take?
No, the first time I planted them, and I had designed, if you go on my Instagram, you'll totally see it from like April 2020. I built this big like vertical planting bed, and I had like multiple levels, and I planted a bunch of hops so that they could grow up and around it.
Cool.
And literally cover this whole thing. All the sharp edges would be covered with this nice, gorgeous vine.
Yeah.
Vining plant, I should say.
Wow.
Giving it away. But
needle-like leaf.
Yeah.
Vining plants.
Yeah, freaks. Oh, we got to. Can we just say real American terms here? Well, it ended up being that I had to rip that whole thing out because we had to move immediately. Tried to plant it the next place, but they didn't take very well. Mm. And then we had to move from that place like 6 months later in the middle of winter.
Wow.
Took them up, but then obviously, not obviously, they are a perennial vining plant, which dies back to a rhizome at the end of the season and then grows back up from the ground every year. So at this point, it was January. They had completely died back. I'm like, well, I have no idea where these things are.
Yeah.
I'm going to dig them up and hope that they're there. I think that they're there, and then plant them and gave some to my mom and then kept some. I couldn't find them. I think they've all died, those original ones. They've disappeared.
Wow.
They're either at the original house or they're in the ether somewhere in the world.
They were eaten by the earth.
Probably, yeah. And then it turns out, so I bought three more. One of them did not do very well. Two did very fine, and I planted them around a fire pit. But because we had a big burn ban, literally from like June all the way through to the end of September, couldn't burn anything back there. So sat in that area, never. There's no trees around it. So I just had a rough time with hops recently. But
Casey, I'm really sorry about that.
Hey, thanks, Alex.
They don't seem easy to grow.
That's the thing. They are. They grow like 20 feet in a year. They grow really fast when they're established.
I attempted to make you feel better.
No, I appreciate
you. And I fucked
up. No, you made me feel a lot better just by saying that sucks.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, but they are easy. Like, that's the problem. They're so easy to grow. I've just, everything's been going wrong with me either experiencing them or having them in place long enough to like get established.
Yeah, you're hitting some unforeseen obstacles.
Exactly. But let's see. So they are, I say a vining plant because they're not like a true vine that, like that's its method. Like it grows up and it either has like, they call them radicans, which are short for radical, which is, basically means feet, which I didn't know this. They put their, these little growing things. Yeah. Look up the etymology of the word.
I'm not going to be able to move on before.
Yeah. Sorry. I'll keep talking while you look it up. Okay. Radical.
Radical.
Where that comes from, or radicans, which means like it, that's also comes from the same base.
Am I spelling R-A-D-I-C-A-L?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Give it to us. What we got?
Okay, hold on. Let me get a quick synop.
Yeah, here. I hope everyone loves this this episode. This is very circuitous.
I'm having a nice time.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, hops grow up, and then they just have hairs that face downwards, since that's what gives them the ability to latch onto things and grow up. And they also twist around in a... counterclockwise fashion, and then they'll climb up things, and then they put these little tiny flowers out that attract butterflies but are wind pollinated, and then they grow these little hops. Hops, of course, being famous for being used in beers.
That's right.
The scientific name is Humulus lupulus, and you know what it is? Where lupulus means it's Latin for little wolf, lupulus.
Yes.
And what that
lupine,
actually... Yes, exactly. And lupus, or I think that's the scientific name for wolves, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that's right.
Le loup in French, L-O-U-P.
Le loup.
Yeah.
Bonjour, le loup.
Bonjour, le loup. So it turns out that this is actually called that because they called it the little wolf because it would strangle and kill little or other plants around it because it would like grow and just take over a plant and shade it out.
Fascinating.
So they grow up, they're these little vining things, and they have these little hop things, which are, they're actually in the Cannabaceae family. So they have that really like citrusy, lemony kind of smell that you could get from, like if you open up a jar of weed and smell that, you're like, whoa, it's not the skunk, it's like the citrus smell.
Yeah,
and,
good weed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Weed from Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And so they ended up growing these and put them in beer because that same stuff, like it's this little yellow powder that grows, it looks almost exactly the same as like a little nut with a wing on it, a nutlet. It grows almost exactly the same way, but it has this powder that grows at the base of it, and that's what actually gives the scent and the smell. Oh. And they call it lupulin, I believe, is the name of this like... this material or this powder, this stuff. And they would take that, throw it in the beer, and it would act as not only a preservative, but it would flavor the beer and add the much more citrusy, poppy sort of taste to it. And the famous beers that use a lot of them are the IPAs. And do you know why they're called IPA?
India Pale Ale.
Correct.
Because the trading, the no?
Yeah, you got it right. They would go from England, which is where this kind of was developed.
Okay, can I try again?
Yes.
From, if you were traveling from England to India,
yeah,
you needed a beer that was very preserved and fermented and preserved,
yes,
to last you the trip.
Uh-huh.
So you would bring this insanely hoppy fermented beer.
Exactly. Because you had to go down past the Horn of Africa and back up.
Huge
trip. Yeah. That's exactly it. At least as far as I know, that is the legend. You know, there's always, hey, is it, was it? I'm pretty sure this is actually pretty true.
Casey, I have an update.
Okay, go, what do we got?
Radical as an adjective. Late 14th century, originating in the root or ground.
Yes.
Vital to life.
It
can also mean from the Latin radicalis.
Yep.
It almost sounds like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Of or having roots.
Yeah.
From the Latin radix, genitive, just means root.
Yeah. So it means
branch,
root or feet. And so now you're like, well, why do we call people who are like political things? Why do we call them radicals?
Yeah.
It's because they're like grassroots movements.
Okay.
Where they've moved up. Like this is a sort of ground welling, radical, root like thing that people have believed in. And they are called radicals.
So its meaning in that sense has been a bit bastardized.
Yeah.
Because when we say somebody has radical views, it's like,
now it's like
they're
fringe.
An outlier. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Which, yeah, so that has shifted as language, of course, does. But when I learned that like comparison, I was like, oh, that's really curious.
Interesting.
Yeah. So these don't have these radicans, the hops, and they just grow up, they die back to a rhizome right at the base, and then they send up all these new shoots.
I have one more. I'm sorry, Casey.
Oh, no, it's,
no. I can't stop reading this etymology on Alex. Radical. The mathematical radical sign, so that's something in mathematics.
Yeah.
The radical sign. Placed before any quantity to denote that its root is to be extracted.
Yes.
Like square root.
Exactly. I was going to say the radical is the square root sign, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah.
The sign itself is a modification of the letter R. Yeah. Interesting.
It's a modification of the letter R as in radical?
Yes.
Oh my God. That just brings so many like circles into one vision.
That's so cool.
So that means you're supposed to get to the root of it, which would be the square root of it, because the square is what you would get up. Oh my God.
Oh yeah, the little square root sign looks like an R.
That's stunning.
See, you know how you're like trees are related to everything, and it, for me that's etymology.
Well, see, that's the thing, Alex. They're the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. What are we talking about right now? We're talking about tree things, and that gets us onto the etymology thing. All right. And now we're talking math.
I see.
I give you credit, though, just to be clear. I also agree, because language does the same thing. Like, it's so permeating our culture, right?
Yeah. Well, Casey, so, let's get back to the root of this conversation.
Oh, my God.
The hop.
Great thing. That's it. That's hops. I love them. They're flowers. Wonderful. I believe they're oppositely arranged leaves, not flowers. And they come out and they have these big, like, tri-lobed things to them. So they look a lot like a mulberry tree or something like that, with these big, rounded, kind of goofy-looking lobes that come out. And, of course, there's a million varieties of them. There's, like, the Simcoe, and there's Chinook, and there's this other kind, like Zero hops or something like that. So, and there's only certain places that grow them commercially. The Pacific Northwest is one of them, like the Yakima Valley is a big one, Willamette Valley as well, as some places in Bavaria, of course, Germany, noted for their beers. And down in, I think, New Zealand, Australia has a lot of good hop growing spaces. And these are like at the commercial level. Of course, you can grow hops anywhere. I grew them in my backyard. But you can grow them only at a commercial way in like these sorts of specific areas.
I see.
And they started to develop certain flavors, because you can get, just like anything, a certain kind of flavor profile from a certain kind of hop.
Yeah.
So Centennial hops have this kind of flavor. Some have these really citrusy flavors that make you think you're drinking a Starburst beer.
Hmm.
Others are really just bitter and sour, and you put them in there, and you're just like, oh, I love this.
Yeah.
And you have this bitter beer face, which was made famous by what, Coors or Budweiser, I think?
I think it was Budweiser.
Yeah. And it was like, I grew up and I look back and I'm like, yeah, I want that bitter beer face. That's so much better than your sweet, not bitter beer. I don't know. It's the worst.
Isn't that beer the beer that gives you bitter beer face?
Yeah, it does. Maybe you just drink it and you're just like, this is the worst
beer
I've
ever had.
Are
they saying, is that anti-IPA? Is that anti-new
wave? I think that's that.
Wave?
I think it's new wave, because when I think back, those commercials were going on in like the 90s.
Yeah.
And most, like in Oregon, the big breweries that we now know and love, in fact, some of them have gone out of business. They all started in like 86, 88. McMinimins and Rogue. Bridgeport Brewing started way back then.
There you go.
Windmere, all these breweries that today are like the big ones, they started in the late 80s. And then in the 90s, that really started getting blown up. And I remember my mom in like the early mid 2000s was like, well, actually, no, Portland's and Oregon's really known for beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, really? And then I started looking into it. Of course, I wasn't able to drink at the time, wasn't even interested. And then it turns out that I was like, oh my God, they're everywhere. And now, of course, the craft beer scene's exploded all over the world, more or less. But yeah, that was I think they put those commercials out because craft beer was like having this resurgence, like this slow ground welling. And all of a sudden everyone's like, actually, there's other options. There's other options than the American lager,
yeah,
which is just, you know,
And it's so interesting from a marketing perspective that Budweiser was like, oh, like all this good beer is taking off. How do we get people to drink Bud again?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's say that the good beer is actually kind of bad.
There you go. Brilliant.
That was their campaign.
Yeah.
Casey, we're going to have one more musical sting as I grab our third beverage from the fridge.
Excellent.
And it's happening right now. Just like that, it happened again, Casey. We're back from a short break.
Stunning. Now, Alex, I did want to make one interjection before we move on to the next plant.
Yes.
Wanted to make sure that I knew how you feel about this last one. Humulus lupulus, the hop vine. Alex is our resident food expert. We're going to let you go first.
All right. I'm going to rate this hop water because it's been a while since I've had beer.
All right.
And I don't really feel like rating beer.
That's fair.
Emotionally, it's like a zero.
I gotcha. Yeah.
So this hop water, I don't know. Casey, if these didn't cost like $3 a bottle, I would maybe like drink these on the reg.
Yeah.
Like this is a nice treat.
It's delicious, really.
And it, I don't know why. Maybe it's the coffee I just had, but it does make my head kind of buzz.
Oh.
Which might be the coffee, and I'm very hungry. So yeah, that might be what's happening.
Yeah,
maybe it's a little
bit of both, yeah. Because I'm like, there's no, like, the hops do not make something alcoholic. It's strictly an additive afterwards.
Right. So this is not like non-alcoholic beer where that still has like 0.05%
yeah,
alcohol.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Which would not affect me anyway. So it's completely psychosomatic.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this hop water like a 7.5 out of 10 Golden Poems of Honor.
I think it's a pretty good number. It's pretty good.
Casey, what are you giving it?
All right. So I also
feel free to rate hops in general if you
want. I'm going to rate hops in general and I'll rate this water. This water is delicious, although it doesn't taste like hops, which I was kind of hoping for, but maybe I don't know what hops really taste like because I've always had it in like beer.
I think we should be thankful this doesn't taste like hops.
Yeah.
Because
whatever it is, it's well balanced. Right?
Yeah, it's a great balance of flavors.
So I'm gonna give this drink also like I'm gonna give it an 8 because nice. I like this kind of stuff. I think it's really good. I think it's fancy. It's made in Clackamas, Oregon. I know that place.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's what it says. Bottled there.
That's where I grew up.
Yeah, me too.
Amazing.
However, hops. I love hops.
Yeah,
one of my top favorite vines. I think they're beautiful. I like that they die back.
I love
their smell. We just drink too much.
Burp machines. you know what? We're a lot like Charlie Bucket and Grandpa Joe.
Yeah, we sure are, aren't we?
Burping in that bubble factory.
Too much. We're going to start. Well, we got to float. That's how we go down.
Yeah, it's a good thing to burp.
Exactly. It brings us back down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that it's, I like hops quite a bit. I think they're delicious. I like hoppy beer. I'm not a fan of the non-hoppy beers. I drink almost exclusively IPAs.
Wow.
That's not 100% true, but it's like 95% true. They are, I love the flavor. I think a very well done beer has a lot of hops in it and will taste well balanced with a lot of hops.
Sure.
Again, though, just like coffee, it does betray me when you have too much of a good thing. It is a bad thing. In fact, sometimes people say, well, it's always a bad thing. You just have too much of a bad thing. It is poison.
Mm.
At least if you have it with the alcohol added back in. So I'm going to say, I'm gonna give hops an 8.0.
That's a good score.
Yeah, because I think they are what make beer for me very much worth drinking.
Yeah.
Because if they didn't exist and you didn't have that like really citrusy notes in a bunch of beer, I think I'd be like, meh, not really interested. It just doesn't taste very good.
Which exists, like barley and what is it, malted barley or something?
Yeah, yeah, that's what
normal,
they usually do.
Like domestic beer made with?
Well, then domestic beers are actually brewed a lot with rice and corn.
Okay.
Like your Pabst and your Brewers or your Coors and things like that.
Okay.
But if you get like a craft beer, they usually have a mash tun made with wheat and barley and some other kinds of like wheat things. Like you can have wheat beers where they're just made with wheat and they're gluten... I have no gluten in them at all.
Your Hefeweizens.
Exactly. Yeah. Wits and things.
Mm-hmm.
It just matters. Like if you have ales or lagers, two different kinds, they usually have some amount of barley and hops. Those are the big things. I'm sorry. Barley and wheat are the big things that they're roasting in there. At least to my understanding, there could be other things. I think oats sometimes.
Well, Casey, that was our review of hops. Let's move on to our third beverage now.
Yes.
We have a bit of a story around this one. We have some wine. This is non-alcoholic wine.
Yep.
You had found a non-alcoholic red wine, which you prefer. You prefer your red wine guy.
I do. That's correct.
But we couldn't find it for this episode in time. So we have sort of a backup, and it is a Riesling, which, if I'm familiar with Riesling, it's seen as sort of a dessert wine.
I think so, but I'm not really sure, actually.
Probably extremely sweet and tart, I would reckon.
Yeah, probably.
So I'm going to unscrew this bottle of wine. That's how you know it's high quality.
Yep. I just cleansed my palate, but I'm going to use my coffee cup mug, which is also made by one of our fungal associates. So all the best. This is my Mr. Tomato mug.
Yeah, and I have a Mr. Walnut mug, which is a reference from like our second episode.
Yeah, so OG listeners, you're the best.
So I'm going to read the little label on the back here. Johannes Lietz, awarded winemaker and Riesling enthusiast. Yeah. Sorry, we tried to do something without interrupting, and I couldn't handle it. No, it was my fault. So this Riesling enthusiast has produced this de-alcoholized Riesling in an elegant style with pure fruit and a lot of freshness. Casey, bring that mug on over here. I'm going to give you a pour. Here you go. Would you like a short pour or a long pour?
Long pour, please.
That's a lot. There we go. All right. Casey, we were just talking about my sobriety during the break.
Yeah.
I've been sober for about 520 days.
This is just incredible.
Pouring. I'm having anxiety pouring from this bottle, this wine bottle, into a cup.
Makes you feel like you're about to slam down some Riesling.
Yeah, it like got me a little nervous, but we're gonna do it because I know it's safe.
Yeah,
for me.
I don't want to trigger you. Just to be very clear, if this is not gonna be good for you,
no,
we don't have to do it.
This is like exposure therapy. This is good.
That's the same. Yeah, the first thing I thought of was a Clockwork Orange when they put that glass like that forces his eyes to stay open.
Oh my god!
Like Alex, we're just gonna put the brace thing or that when they're working in your mouth, keep your mouth open. We'll just keep pouring drinks on you. This is non-alcoholic. You're gonna like it.
Casey, cheers.
Cheers. Now we move to the evening portion of the show.
Oh boy.
Your reaction, Alex, for those of you who can't see, he closed his eyes, winced a little bit. Now he's rubbing his face because he is unhappy with that.
Oh. Ooh. It's making my jaw get tense. You know when something's really tart and it makes your jaw tense up?
Uh-huh. Actually, literally, Hannah was saying this just yesterday.
Yeah?
Where she had a grapefruit and she was like, yeah, it doesn't happen to everybody. And when it does happen to somebody, and I'm like, hey, you, we, us. And they're like, yeah. Oh my God, one of us.
Yeah.
I don't think that happens to me. I think it does sometimes.
Maybe you just have a higher tolerance for tart.
I guess
flavors.
So. I drink a lot of beer.
Yeah, there you go. So. Wow. I'm going to take another sip.
So it almost tastes a little bit bubbly.
Oh, Lord.
But I don't know. Honestly, it just tastes like grape juice.
The smell?
Yeah.
When you put it up to your nose to drink it?
Yeah.
Or your mouth to drink it, rather. I'm not pouring this up my nose.
He is, though. Don't let him fool you, you guys.
Alex, you'll drown.
Yeah.
Is like so flashbacky. I mean, it smells like cheap wine.
Yeah, it does. But I think that's just for me. Ooh, white wine is this.
Yeah,
like, I don't
yes,
like
it
white
smells
wine.
Like cheap white wine.
Exactly. All right, so
it
before
tastes decent. I mean,
it's not bad. It tastes like a Riesling, which is just, you know, a cheap and you know, it's sweet wine.
It's not cold enough.
That's fair.
And I want to be drinking it out of a glass, not a plastic cup.
Yeah, that probably helps with the cheapness factor.
I feel like it's incorporated a little bit of something.
Well, drinking it out of this lovely mug is actually quite satisfying for me.
I'm glad.
I usually drink my wine out of mugs or like mason jars.
I need food so bad, Casey.
Hey, no, we're gonna get you chocolate wasted right now.
Well, Casey, wine, of course, made from grapes.
Yes, sir, that is right. A plant that we could not, unfortunately, give a review for in an official capacity because, as they say, rules is rules.
Yes, it is not a tree. We cover trees, motherfuckers.
Yeah. And if someone, the backlash we'd get from that.
Yeah.
Stunning.
The three emails we'd receive.
Yeah, we'd shut the show down. We'd shut it down. We'd have to put out an apology episode.
Yeah.
We'd have to take a couple weeks off.
I always think about this when we like say or do something that is upsetting in some way to our listeners.
Uh-huh.
We receive like, you know, maybe we receive one or two emails about something.
Yeah.
And you know, out of the thousands of people who listen to the show, it's like
it affects
two,
us.
Two people cared.
Yeah.
And then like
we cry.
20,000 didn't give a shit.
Hey, yeah, at least not enough to send an email. But still send the emails, people. We really enjoy them. I enjoy them.
But
Alex, sorry, you don't.
But what was I saying that for? I don't know. I think I'm getting drunk.
Yeah. There's a lot of we've had a lot of non-alcoholic things.
I'm getting like mentally drunk.
Yeah, which is good. This is good. We're gonna flow right now. Yeah,
I really do feel something. I don't know what it is, but I feel a little lightheaded, and
which is funny because it can't be from this, because the two things we had were explicitly like not even remotely alcoholic.
I know, but it's a
mental thing.
Yeah, it's mental.
You guys, everyone
response.
On our show right now, we're going through a journey.
Alex is peaking right now.
You're literally glowing. All right, before we get too far, let's talk about what a grapevine is. Vitis. Everyone's heard this, right?
Wow, vitis?
Vitis, V-I-T-I-S.
Vitis root?
Vitis. Vitis is the genus name for grapes.
Okay, cool.
And grapevines is, I think, 79 species is what the Wikipedia page says. And I wanted to look this up even further, but man, there's so many different things between species and varieties,
yeah,
which always becomes so, so challenging to figure out.
Then you have your subspecies.
Yeah, and then also, like, the problem that we're going to have is, A, we weren't going to go, like, we've been doing research on other things, and I was like, I'm not going to spend 3 hours today looking up the different species and varieties of grapes. Yeah. We're just going to be talking about what we think about them. So sorry, you guys. This is the one where I'm like, we're just going to stick with Vitis for this.
Cool.
But a lot of the grapevines that you get, they grow wild all over the place. There's native ones in Eastern Oregon and Northern California. Mm-hmm. There's native ones all over the East Coast and over the northern half of the world mostly. And I think they go down a little bit into the tropics every now and then.
Hmm.
However, they are a big woody vine that grow up. They don't have the traditional vining-like qualities. A lot of times, vines of grape will actually grow up and then kind of like hang down. Like a classic vine would be, if you're going through the wilds of North Carolina or Missouri, somewhere in the South, there will be these big vines that are growing up the sides of a tree, some like hanging kind of off. And they have like really shaggy, thick trunks, maybe about an inch or two thick, sometimes bigger. But they have this really shaggy bark that, like, you can, if you take your arms or your hands around it, you like twist on it, it'll like just kind of come off.
Oh, wow.
But it like sticks in your skin and your shirt and everything. Like, I've had them where I've tried to like climb up one and then I got off and I was like, oh my God, like it's everywhere. I hate this.
It sounds maybe like a little bit like a cedar bark.
Yeah, a little bit like that.
Like a Western red cedar.
Yeah. And then it like has little like pokey, like little splinter kind of things that kind of just like, I don't know, they go into the air and they get all over you and they suck.
It's pre-bark dusted.
Exactly. It's exactly what it is.
It's a pre-dusted bark.
Yeah. So they're great. A lot of times people grow them, they just eat grapes. Every grape that you've had is a real ass grape. They don't have any seeds, and I should look up into the why that is. Like, is it a triploid or is it genetically modified? I'm sure it's genetically modified. The seedless grapes.
I'm almost sure I've had a grape with a seed in it.
Oh yeah, lots. I mean, if you get a natural.
Wait, why did you just say they have no seeds?
If you go to the store, you can get seedless grapes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But each grape should have one seed in the very middle.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
And they're great. So they have they're usually wind pollinated. They're delicious, and you can smash them and get the juice out of them. Alex just took another drink and did not appreciate it. You're doing great.
Thanks.
But they're big vines, and they will take over stuff. It's actually kind of a problem in a lot of places, because as they grow up, they're very much able to take over an entire area, and they kind of latch on with little tendrils. But they don't, they overshade a plant, kind of like ivy, where they don't actually destroy the plant by like taking nutrients from it, but they'll grow up these vines and they'll cover entire trees and they'll move over from tree to tree and basically put this big carpet of grapes on top of everything. Which is great if you're, a Greek god,
Hey, yeah. Do you think when Dionysus was like redecorating his house, they were like, what do you want to do with the carpet? He's like, grapes.
Grapes. A carpet of grapes. Make it alcoholic grapes, too. I want them already be fermented.
Everywhere he walks, he leaves like a stained footprint of grapes.
Beautiful. What a life that would be.
Mm.
Well, that's what he does. That's what they did. The poor vines, though, are just like, we were talking about it earlier. If you grow them in a, what is it? It's called viticulture, which is the growing of grapes specifically for wine.
Oh.
Most, I guess, honestly, it's viticulture. It's probably for non-wine, too, for like eating grapes or like the Concord grape juice, you know, Welch's with the little girl who loves the little grape juice thing.
Sure.
So viticulture is the, you know, the agriculture of growing grapes. They grow them in vineyards, and those vineyards are, they keep grapes like so... I feel bad for them. They basically have these little vines grow up, and then they cut the top of the vine off maybe at 3 feet, and they have wires growing directly left and directly right. So you have basically a plant that they keep, they let it grow up to about 3 feet, and then they take the vines and they grow them along these lines. So imagine a stake in the ground, and then another 3 or 4 or 5 feet away, there's another stake in the ground, all the way down a long line.
Yeah.
And then you take a grape and you plant it at the base of each one of those stakes.
Okay.
Then you have wires going between those stakes, maybe like 2 or 3 levels of them. Then those grapes are attached to, the grape plants, are attached to these lines, and they grow out horizontally, perfectly spaced, kind of like an espalier a little bit.
Yeah.
The problem is, though, they then... top that little thing, this new tendril comes out, and they put it out there on those lines. It grows the grapes, they harvest the grapes, then they cut it back, and then they do it again. Or they keep it really tightly, specifically grown.
Why is that a problem?
Because it just feels so unnatural, you know? Oh. It's I want it to be a vine. It's got such potential. And we just keep it so hemmed in into these little rows, and they're just like, it's... I want them to grow and become big vines.
But they do also, right? This is just a commercialized version of...
Yeah.
Like, you said they grow in the wild.
Yeah, all over the place, yeah. So I can't be that upset, but, you know...
I don't think beautiful. I've ever seen grapes in the wild. I'm not going to the right places.
Yeah, we don't have any growing in the wild up here, but they definitely... everywhere else in the world, like in the East Coast, I guess probably just Southern Europe, most likely.
The
not
Mediterranean,
really
I assume.
Yeah, exactly. In France and things, yeah. Well, they're adorable when they grow there, but they look like they're constantly topped with these little like tendrils that just kind of come out, and that's what they grow from.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Well, Casey, you know what?
Oh, I forgot.
What?
They have also palmately lobed leaves that, funny enough, look really similar to hops.
They do.
The difference is grapes are usually like way fatter, and I think they have 5 lobes instead of 3. They just look really big and bleh.
They're not related at all, are they?
I don't believe they are. No, this is in the Vitaceae and the Vitales and the Rosids.
I'm just looking at
different families.
I'm looking at photos of grapes, and they just look so delicious.
They are. My neighbor, she's the sweetest, sweetest old woman. This is actually the neighborhood that I live in right now. I'm in the act of moving, like as we speak.
Yeah.
And but the neighbor that lives behind me, her name's Florence. She's just the sweetest old lady. And I think I've talked about her on this show
once or twice. Yes,
you have. And she made us grape juice this year. She
really?
She has vines growing in an arbor, and they collected them all, and she invited us over, but we couldn't make the time she was doing the graping, and ended up smashing all the grapes and made them into grape juice, and then gave us a jar and said, to you and your family, Casey.
That's so sweet.
It was the nicest thing. She's just such a nice woman.
How was it?
Delicious.
Yeah.
Like, grown right behind my house.
Damn.
Yeah, we drank it really quick, actually.
That sounds good.
In fact, it inspired me to get grape juice from like the grape juice jars you can get like from the store.
Oh yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'm gonna start drinking some grape juice. That way I can like, you know, get my grape fix.
Whatever happened to grape juice? I feel like in the 90s it was extremely popular. Like,
yeah.
Maybe that was just a childhood thing. You drink grape juice.
That's what I think it is, yeah.
But also juice is like, I think has been vilified a little bit because it's so... sugary.
Exactly. Well, yeah, it's, I mean, the good thing is that they're natural sugars, so it's not like weird processed things, easier for your body to do. But the problem is, you're exactly right, if you drink all these sugary juice drinks, you're getting all the sugar and the delicious things without the rest of the plant, which is all the fiber and a bunch of other nutrients that are locked into the actual, like, the physical parts of this, of the fruit, you know?
You know, I was just talking to Kyle about this, like the difference between drinking orange juice and eating an orange.
Vast.
Or, I mean, even more explicitly, like between taking a vitamin D supplement and eating an orange.
Hey, it's exactly right.
The orange has other parts that are made to be digested and help improve your intake of the vitamin D in
that
the
is,
orange.
It's just so accurate. I'm in love that you just said that.
Casey, let's give a review to grapes.
All right.
And to this non-alcoholic Riesling beverage.
That's what I'm talking about. All right.
Let's start with me.
Wow.
We've set a precedent. We can't do it two times and not the third.
I guess so.
I don't know. Well, I love grapes.
Okay, yeah.
Frozen grapes are a delight.
Okay.
I like grape juice decent enough.
It's pretty good.
Not a big wine guy back in the day.
Okay.
This drink is not for me.
Ooh, not what you're looking for. This is the fake Riesling.
The fake Riesling.
Okay.
I would probably offend the man who made this. By saying it's a fake Riesling, but it is.
Yeah, I guess I probably would too, so I feel a little bit bad.
It's okay. I'm going to give this like a 3.5 out of 10.
3.5?
Yeah, it's not for me.
Wow. Okay, all right, that's fair. Well, okay, I'm going to have to think about this because all right, I like it. I like wine quite a bit.
Yeah.
And actually, especially because of my because of Hannah, I was going to say something that my brain shot off in six different directions. Because of my partner, Hannah, and her delicious, like ability for wine, I don't understand it, but she can taste things that I cannot taste, smell things that I cannot smell.
She's a bit of a connoisseur.
She is, but not like in a way where she's like, listen, I know. She's just like, yeah, you know, there's good wine, bad wine. If you have good wine and you have bad wine, you know the difference all
for
of a sudden.
Sure.
And it's like, yeah, I guess that's very fair. I've tasted this difference as well. But she just like, I don't know. You know the term super taster or super smeller or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
These things? Mm-hmm. She has very highly sensitive smells and tastes.
Interesting.
And I'm like, I cannot smell that at all. She's like, you know, smell that? It smells like saffron. And I'm like, how did you smell? What? So she's never actually done that. But regardless, so she's shown me like, oh, this is good. I can drink this like six different wines and she could have six different ideas. Like, oh, this wine's good and peppery. And I'm like, what? How do you do? And I drink it and I'm like, I can't get that. So, but what I have learned is that the nuances in grapes and grape wines, so good. And I'm just like, I really like them now that I've been a little bit more exposed to quality. But having said that, I also have had my fair share of Franzia. In fact, there's a YouTube video of me, don't look it up, of me drinking a lot of Franzia and playing ping pong. Oh my God.
I'm looking it up right now.
I don't even know if you can. I don't know if you could find it. In fact, I think one person from the podcast found it and like said, clap for trees, is this you? And I think I messaged back and I said, tell no one. And then he messaged back and just had a smiley face. And I was like, this is my man.
That's incredible.
Anyway, I'm not going to tell anyone how to find it. So the moral of the story is it's a... I like wine. I think it's good. And I like grapes and I like the vines a lot. I'm going to give them a 7.5, the lowest of all.
Solid.
Because the fact that I cannot swing on a vine of grapes without destroying my hands makes me upset.
Okay.
I want a vine. If it's a vine that's big enough for one to climb, it should be appropriate that it has evolved so that I can grasp my hands around it comfortably and swing from tree to tree.
Are you saying you want to climb that wine vine?
I do. I want to climb that wine vine.
Wow.
And swing as if a line to the next tree. I tried to come up with something. I couldn't do it.
I had the time to think about it, so it's okay.
That's fair. You should have just ended with, I had the time. Anyway, 7.5 because it hurts
solid.
My hands and sometimes kills trees. But wine, delicious. Get good wine. It's worth it. Also, if we flood the market with good wine,
yes.
It becomes cheaper.
That's right.
Then everyone can afford it.
Also, why not just drink less of higher quality of anything, you know?
Why? Oh,
you, why not?
I'm saying. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Same with meat, and you know.
You mean you should? Are you saying? Are you advocating to get higher quality stuff?
I'm advocating if you're able, spend a little bit more money to buy higher quality things made by actual human beings.
Agreed.
And just ingest, just have less of it.
Yeah.
And you'll spend the same amount of money.
It's exactly right, and it's better for you, it's better for them, it's better for everybody.
You might enjoy it more, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, that's the scarcity. If you're always getting something all the time, then you don't care about it.
And I did say the same with meat, as in, you know, you can buy 2 pounds of factory farm beef for like $6. Maybe not $6.
Honestly, actually, maybe $6.
But you can also spend, you know, $8 on 1 pound of like farm fresh beef, and it's better for you and it tastes better.
And that cow probably had a way better life.
And it's better for the environment.
We passed so many factory farms and it was just like, it was so sad. Some of them I think were dairies in the southern Midwest, and it was just like, awful. Yeah, it was pretty rough. Like you walk by and you're like, I can't eat a steak. It's the saddest cow I've ever seen in my life.
Fuck. Well, on that note, that concludes our discussion of 3 trees in 1.
That is
coffee,
it.
Hops. These are not trees, actually.
No, they're not.
That's
trees,
the whole premise
like
of the
it.
Show. Coffee, hops, and grapes. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
Yep.
We certainly did. I enjoy any episode where I get to ingest something.
That's true, yeah. And I'm always curious, and of course, this is on Patreon, so there's a direct link. Send us messages about what you guys think, because I'm also curious what other people think of these things, because there's such a wide array. Some people are like, I will never touch this plant again. Right. It's disgusting. I hate it.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts on hop water.
Yeah, exactly. Hop water.
Thank you so much for listening to the Completely Arboretum. Casey.
Alex.
Let's go order some food.
We'll see you in a little bit.
Bye.